He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Waging war on corruption, crashing the lies and disinformation. Monday through Friday from 11 to 2 Central, and back from 9 to midnight as well. A couple weeks ago, I covered the article, the shocking article, out of Harper's Magazine, and another interview that was done of the author by Guerrilla News Network, and the good folks over there. He's Jeffrey Charlotte. Now, I've talked a lot about neocons, neoconservatives. They're for open borders, gun control, supercomputers to communist China, nuclear reactors in North Korea. They're for draconian police state legislation like Patriot Act 1 and 2. They have bizarre Nazi connections like the Bushes and Prescott Bush running the largest Nazi bank in the United States, Brown Brother Harriman, that controlled over half of Nazi steel production. The Skull and Bones, with all of its bizarre activities at Yale, with all these CIA directors and three Bushes. I've infiltrated Bohemian Grove and videotaped the bizarre rituals that our world leaders do there, German chancellors, British prime ministers, American presidents. And yeah, it all sounds crazy, but it's mainstream, ladies and gentlemen. The Grove admitted on Trio Network in that hour-long special that aired, Secret Rulers of the World, that indeed I did sneak in and get footage of that ritual, but they're just having fun. I guess they were just having fun in the movie Eyes Wide Shut. But you have all these so-called Christian leaders involved in these organizations, calling themselves Christians, but doing the exact opposite. We were just talking to Jeffrey Charlotte, and he was getting into how they think that Hitler's model was good, the Mao's model was good, the Mafia's model's good. They don't call themselves Christians. No, it's all about Jesus, and Jesus wants a secret world government with a secret brotherhood running it. They call it the brotherhood, the family, all these different names, very shadowy. They've got a house in D.C., where we're on the radio right now, where 7 to 8 congressmen live, Ashcroft's connected to it. A lot of big Christian leaders are connected to it. Go over this in detail for us, Jeffrey Charlotte, please, because it's so important. And I would also challenge folks to go to your website, killingthebuddha.com, about your upcoming book. Please break it down for us, what the brotherhood is, or the family, as they call it, how they operate, how it was founded, and all these shadowy connections.
Okay, the family started in 1935 in Washington State, and it started as a union busting group, small-scale Norwegian immigrant named Abraham Barady, whose biggest fear was communism. He was a minister, but he's main thing, he thought that God was calling him to fight communism, was giving him a special commission. And everyone else, he thought Christianity had always ministered to the down and out, the poor and the weak. And he said, well, what about the up and out, the powerful and strong? And he thought that's what Christ wanted him to do, was to go out and minister. And so he built that up, starting there and then spreading across the country. By the early 40s, he had a third of the Senate had attended one of his weekly meetings in Washington, and these would be prayer meetings. And ostensibly there would be no politics discussed, but it's all about giving you a particular worldview that's going to help you make your decisions. And it's also about making deals. And as they spread out internationally, these prayer groups would encompass more and more international leaders. And they had a particular affinity for dictators, strongmen. General Costa Silva, who's the horrible dictator in Brazil. General Suharto, who's a murderous dictator, killed 500,000 of his own citizens in Indonesia. These were guys that they would get into prayer cells with U.S. congressmen. And as the group has grown, it's never gotten too big because they're not looking to convert everyone. And that's what makes them different than your standard Christian fundamentalist. Not to mention their view of Christ as essentially this sort of very strong leader who should dictate every decision we make, not just moral questions.
You also say that they say Christ is more of a spirit guide, and that, of course, Christ emissaries here on earth, this secret global order, will administer his kingdom here in this part of this larger global system. Now, it's obvious from your writings and then what I've dug up since I read your stories about this, and you were inside the group, of course, for a month and then investigated it for months before and after, that it's just an envelope, a way for them to use Christians as a cover. From the evidence I see They've done this in countless other organizations to put this, oh, this Christian mantle on covert activities and to legitimize dictators and mass murderers. I mean, you get into how they sit around at these dinner tables and talk about how Hitler was good and
well, I should clarify that. They do admire what they call the Hitler model. That does not mean that they admire Hitler's policies, although they're unclear that there's not much of a distinction.
So right, you
they
said
are
that
not
they
anti-Semitic,
also...
but they do say Hitler, they say, look, here's what this guy, he worked with a group of five of other, you know, brothers, friends, and look what he accomplished. Imagine if we could put that model to work for Christ.
But also you say, Jeffrey Charlotte, writer for Harper's Magazine, you also say in there that they, in an interview you did for Guerrilla News Network, that Nietzsche, they talk a lot about Nietzsche. Well, Nietzsche was insane. He said God was dead. He hated Christians. I mean, you've got all these unsundry characters. This is all they seem to talk about.
Well, I depict a scene in which one very intelligent young guy and I had a discussion about Nietzsche. And I should say, look, I think Nietzsche's a philosopher. We should all study whether or not we agree with him. I don't think that's out of line. I don't think that's crazy. I think what's crazy is not making the distinction between the Hitler method, so-called, or the Mao method. You know, that was another one. Imagine if you could take what Mao did and put that to work for Christ. Well, you can't, because that's not a Christian goal. And I think they don't make that distinction. I have nothing against Christianity. I'm not an anti-Christian writer by any means. I want to see them, and I think there are actually a lot of people with good hearts and good integrity within the group, and they are not paying close enough attention to what they as a group are doing. So when
I mean, that's how the Masons work, is you've got the low-level useful idiots that mean well. They're being used by the higher-level people. And I'm just telling you, sir, from my study, the people that are involved, this fits the model that I have seen over and over again. And these so-called Christian leaders, a lot of them are members of this group, and they put the spin out that basically you're not going to heaven unless you worship George Bush, and he's this ordained great Christian man, this great leader, while the guy's a member of Skull and Bones of Bohemian Grove. And I've been on talk shows with these so-called big Christian leaders, and they will rebuke me on air for criticizing Bush about Skull and Bones.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it gets even more complicated than that. You can find this online. Al Gore once referred to Doug Coe, who was the leader of the family, this group, as one of his personal heroes. So they cut across political lines. What they're most interested in is power. It's not even so much a particular agenda. I mean, they like George Bush and John Ashcroft, as you mentioned, has been involved with them since 1981, when he began corresponding with the leader and meeting with him. But they also have Democratic allies, too. And they've even, you know, if you look at some of these leaders that they've allied themselves around the world, despite their fierce anti-communism, they'll even ally themselves occasionally with a communist leader.
Well, I mean, that's the double
strength.
That's the double speak of we're against communism, but we fund it. We're for it because it centralizes thing, and Jesus wants centralization. Now, Jesus Christ fought against centralized government of man. He stood up against Rome. He stood up against the Pharisees and Sadducees. This is a joke, and they talk about Christ being the spirit guide. They say that they're not really against abortion, that other religions can do a good job. That's what your article says. Is that accurate?
Yeah, they do. They definitely maintain a bit. In as much as they have a public face, which is not very much, they're dedicated to being, in their own words, an invisible organization. And that's not me charging them with that. That's what they call themselves. But in as much as they sometimes surface in the public, they have a fairly ecumenical approach. So, for instance, you know, Suharto was an Indonesian. He was a Muslim, you know. And they're happy to work with him. Or I just discovered some correspondence with Siad Barre, the former dictator of Somalia, who was meeting with Charles Grassley, still a senator today, Republican senator. And Siad Barre was a Muslim, of course. But he would say, yeah, sure, I'll pray to Jesus, because he knows that's getting him an entree into American government.
Now, what is the Cedars? You talk about how they bring world leaders in and how you even saw a congressman meeting with him who was basically being interrogated to be a member. He was there presenting himself. Let's talk about that, who the core is, the core group. It's all secret. And then some of the members of this and some of the so-called Christian leaders today.
Sure. Well, there's a bunch of locations. Ivanwald is the house for young men at which I lived, and that's down in a sort of a cul-de-sac with a bunch of houses all belong to this, the chief one of which is called the Cedars, this beautiful old mansion built by the son of the George Mason, famous from American history, and they use that to host diplomatic events. I was there, for instance, one day. Ed Meese, former Attorney General, that corrupt guy was presiding over a diplomatic breakfast with an ambassador from Rwanda, which, you know, been in one of the biggest wars on the planet right now is involved in. And then they also have a house in Washington, D.C. proper, where these congressmen live. And that's where I saw a Republican congressman, Todd Tehart, of Kansas, meeting with Doug Coe. And Congressman Tehart was very eager to prove his credentials and by showing how fiercely opposed he was to abortion and to Islam. And
that was kind of a no-no. They got upset about that.
Yeah. And Doug Coe, the leader, said that's not what we're really about. We're just about building what he calls a covenant, this bond.
What about just saying we're Christian and taking over Christian organizations and having key personnel and positions of power?
Yeah. I mean, when in the documents, they refer to the long-term goal is a worldwide network of 200 world leaders committed to thinking like Christ, talking like Christ, and acting like Christ. And, of course, you got to remember their idea of how Christ acts and thinks and talks is not necessarily the same as that of most Christians.
In your article, you say that they're all having a discussion around the dinner table, and they say, who had a covenant? And they say, Hitler. Oh, yes, very good. We will have our own covenant. Jesus with Mao and Hitler. I mean, this is insane.
Well, they would not say we have a covenant with Mao and Hitler. They say like Mao and Hitler, who had a covenant. They see that these guys, the guys who've been most effective, are these fascists.
Yeah, and the Nazis, of course, were the Thule Society, Illuminati. This is MSNBC that founded the Russell Trust, 1832 at Yale. And it's the same group, folks. Stay there. This is riveting, Jeffrey Charlotte. We really appreciate you joining us. And I want you to continue telling us the story and breaking it down. There's so much more. And then I want to take some calls. His website is killingthebuddha.com. He also writes for Harper's. Grow fruits.
Thanks for listening.
Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The big money of the so-called neocon Christians. They attack those that expose Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones. And I was talking to Jeffrey Charlotte, the writer for Harper's Magazine, who spent a month inside the organization in D.C., I was talking about Bohemian Grove during the last segment. During the break, I was talking to him and learned something. And I told you folks there was a connection to this because I've done my study under the different names, the Brotherhood, the Family, all these different names, that the founder or the prime mover of this organization in modern times does a lot of his recruiting at the Bohemian Grove. But why don't you tell us about that, Jeffrey?
That's just something I learned about recently. A man named Doug Coe, the leader of this group, the family. He's not the founder, but he is, essentially the prime mover. And he has attended the Bohemian Grove, and apparently, and that's how he works. He goes around the world. He's visited every country in the world, and he does what he calls making friends. Oftentimes, he'll travel with a couple U.S. congressmen abroad. That's very effective. And I'm sure at the Bohemian Grove it's very effective, too. This is one of the best-connected guys on the planet. And this is not, you know, me accusing him of this again. This is people within his own group talking about it. I've seen his correspondence with, you name the political figure. He knows him and talks to him. And he goes in and he says, hey, look, you know, why don't you just come in and pray with my friends and I, and it'll be totally non-political, and we'll just exchange views, and you bring a person closer and closer into this covenant, this tight relationship.
Now, this is just the level they allowed you into, the documents they allowed you to see. You were saying there was a lot of documents that you were not allowed to see, a quote, about the core.
Well, there are a lot of... one of the things, again, and I say that these guys are not as well organized as one might fear, because the fact of the matter is they put a lot of their documents in public places. I think they don't think they're doing anything wrong, so they're not really afraid.
No, sir, their practice is now to hide everything in plain view.
That could be it. That could be it. But whatever the case may be, the documents are there, and you can read them. And, when I say to anyone doesn't believe what I'm saying, go ahead, look at the documents.
Now, you were saying this congressman from Kansas is there, and he's saying, hey, I'm pro-life. I'm a real Christian. I want your support. They've got all these big Christian leaders and other senators and congressmen and women as members. And they say, hey, don't bring up this abortion thing. We're not really concerned with that. We're not really after the Muslims. We're, you know, Jesus is everything. I mean, it's so obvious what's going on. Now, who are some of the big Christian leaders that are supported and involved? You mentioned Billy Graham.
Billy Graham, yeah, Billy Graham has been referred to in the documents as a core member for going back many years. Chuck Colson, who is now a big Christian leader, and was at one point Nixon's, you know, cheap dirty tricks guy, actually went to jail for that for, I think, 3 years and came out and founded something called Prison Fellowship Ministry.
But he's a Christian now. We can't criticize him.
He's a Christian. He's an interesting Christian. I mean, I actually came across a letter from Chuck Colson to Doug Coe saying, hey, our German brothers are really doing a great job. You know, they've got, essentially saying something effective, they've got the Nazi technique. Now, again, I want to emphasize, Chuck Colson is not a Nazi. He's not an anti-Semite. What these guys admire, though, is the organizing principles, and they don't make the distinction that
organizing principles. Well, this is what they admit to you. This is what they admit to you on the surface.
I believe that. I've researched them pretty deeply, and I don't think that makes them any less dangerous.
Sir, you know who founded Skull and Bones?
I know just that I've heard of Skull and Bones.
Well, go read the MSNBC article. It was founded by a secret German cult in the United States for the purpose of taking over the United States. It is a fool society. Their symbol is the swastika. This is admitted. It's inside the tomb. Hitler was a member of the same brotherhood, okay? Just want you to know that.
I will check it out when we get off the phone today. I will check it out and do some research. I think this group probably then might even stay clear of that, because the fact of the matter is they're not committed to Nazi principles.
What I'm saying is that they're recruiting at the Grove. They've got Skull and Bones people in the higher echelons. And I'm telling
Skull
you,
and Bones are in any powerful group in the country. It's an association of powerful men, and you can say, oh, we're just having fun, but powerful men hanging out together and helping each other.
But then they threatened you. Two of them said, you better watch it, you're a traitor. I mean,
yeah, and a bunch of them, you know, I talked to a bunch of them, and they were quite decent, and they said, look, you know, I'm really upset that you did this. This is really wrong.
It's called good cop, bad cop.
It is.
I'm real sorry for what
you did.
Good
cop, bad cop routine. I believe the good cops, and I would say to the bad cops just what the what they would say to me is, I'm praying for them. I hope that they want to follow Christ, and I hope they learn to do that, and that involves not threatening people to say things you don't like.
Well, Lionel Chetwynd threatened me. You know who he is?
No, I'm not familiar with him.
A big guy making this made-for-TV movie about Bush being a hero on 911, and top guy taking over the media for Bush. And I'm there in the dressing room in Los Angeles, and the guy walks over and says, you're Alex Jones. We're going to get you. They're real Christian.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Are you prepared? Callers that want to talk to our guest, Jeffrey Charlotte. We'll go to your calls here in a few minutes. I know he's got more he'd like to add. The toll-free number to join us on air is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Before we go back to my guest, whose website is killingthebuddha.com, an upcoming book he's got coming out. He's a Harper's writer. Before we talk about the brotherhood, the family, this prime-moving CIA-connected organization of so-called neocon Christians, you want to find out what these guys are really up to, what goes on at the Bohemian Grove where they recruit, where German chancellors and British prime ministers and members of the Dutch and British royal family go, and the Bushes back into the 30s and presidents at the turn of the last century. It goes on and on. If you want to know the truth about Bohemian Grove, and they admit I snuck in and got this footage, that's mainstream news. You want to see the rituals they do, worshiping Moloch. Last time I checked, that's not a god Christians are supposed to worship. You want to see the mock human sacrifice, the video I got that was aired on Trio Network. Go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and get Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove. And the film starts with Washington Times, AP, Reuters, articles about the Grove, admitting the orgies, admitting the satanic rituals, but it's all just fun. You know, the Christian leaders go and they truck in the male prostitutes, but oh, they're just having fun. So you need to go to Infowars.com. You need to get this video. You need to call toll-free to get it at 253-3139. You also need to get Police State 3 Total Enslavement about government-sponsored terror, Patriot Act 1 and 2, Homeland Security, the FEMA camps, all mainstream news, executive orders, gun grabbing, it's all in Police State 3 Total Enslavement. Then I have, frankly, my best film, 9-1-1, The Road to Tyranny, and part two of that, The Masters of Terror, covering what really happened on September 11th and how the globalists carried that out. So go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to get the videos, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. Or just write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. Please take action. Get my videos. Make copies for non-profit, educational, not-for-sale purposes. Get them. Make 100 copies. Force multiply the information. Give it to your church so they know who these neocon leaders really are. Now back to our guest, Jeffrey Charlotte, again with Harper's Magazine, incredible articles. A lot of them are very tame, though, just analysis of different religious groups. This one is one of the more bizarre about the Brotherhood of the Family. You say that some Christian organizations believe this is an Antichrist organization. Can you tell us about that, sir?
Yeah, sure. Although I have to say, I think they're even crazier. There is a group online that has been tracking this guy, Doug Coe, for some years on the theory that he is the Antichrist. And if you believe in that particular kind of literalist and unsophisticated reading of Revelation, yeah, then I suppose he could fit your profile. Do I think he's Antichrist? No. But
sir,
there are these groups that are out there.
Well, regardless, saying that the Hitler and Stalin are Mao model, I mean, that's sick enough.
That's my point exactly. We don't need to even go any further than that. As soon as you say, hey, let's use the Hitler model for Christ, well, you've gone off the tracks there.
Look at Homeland Security. That was called Reich Security. Reich meaning land security. And the police are wearing black uniforms. I mean, it's really happening. Let me read you a quote here, and then I'll let you continue. We'll take calls.
Sure.
Whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it has obviously succeeded not only in producing more efficient and dedicated administration, but also in fostering high morale and community of purpose. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. David Rockefeller's statement in 73 about Mao Zedong in the New York Times, August 10th, 73. So the neocons followed this Professor Strauss, Chicago University. Someone who fled Germany. He wrote papers, Reuters has reported, saying that dictatorship is good. So we have this same theme popping up over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it, and I think that's a common thread throughout, is a certain number of people who really feel that a few elite men should be calling all the shots, and that's the government model they admire, and they don't even quite recognize sometimes that what they're advocating is dictatorship.
Now, what are the exact, I mean, you've got the quotes in the Harper's article, which it had to be documented on the record or Harper's wouldn't let you run with it.
Oh, yeah. The lawyers combed over it.
But continuing with this, exactly, now you're sitting around with these people, and they talk about how, I'm trying to find the quotes here, Jesus needs a secret group of men running the world so he can love us properly? Is this what...
Well, I can tell you, for instance, there's a document that they gave me for one of their projects called Youth Corps. Youth Corps is sort of it's a group that's going to go around and build these island wall-like homes for young men and young women to train them. And in their official documents, Youth Corps doesn't even admit to being a Christian group, much less a fundamentalist group. But then they have these other documents, a document called Youth Corps Vision, which I was given. And it says, the vision is to mobilize thousands of young people worldwide committed to principles, precepts, and person of Jesus Christ. That's fine. And then it says to help them mature into people who talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, think like Jesus. And
that's
okay. But then when it gets weird is when they start saying, the seed is the finest and best invisible organization is developed and maintained at all levels of the work. And even though the structure is hidden, see that the family atmosphere is maintained so that all people can feel a part of the family. And that's why I say you go off the rails right there.
Well, no,
invisible organizations are not what Jesus was working toward. Invisible organizations are not what, more importantly, because we're a democracy. We are not a Christian nation. We're a democracy.
We're a constitutional republic. Let me stop you for a second.
Sure.
Jeffrey Charlotte. Number one, we're a constitutional republic.
Okay.
Well, I'll get a lot of heat over that.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. Thank you for the correction.
You know, in a pure democracy, if 51% of the people say, kill this group and take their property, it happens. In a republic, you can't. The minority, as well as the majority, is protected. But let me continue.
Sure.
This is something classic intelligence system, pyramidal structure, where you have the low-level idiots who pay their dues, their tithes, fund the higher-level echelon, then they have key people in positions of power. This is how the CFR, how the Trilateral Commission, how others work. And then you see the CFR and Trilateral and Bilderberg Group and Bohemian Grove members all in this organization. This is nothing but a vehicle to take over Christianity in this country. And now through Bush's faith-based initiative, that'll be the coup de grace.
I think the faith-based initiative is very worrisome, and it's one of those things, again, it looks good. Who can complain about a soup kitchen feeding the hungry? And then you have to question, what is the system that they're putting into place?
It takes control,
yeah,
with the tens of billions of dollars a year. Any other facets you want to hit on? I'll stop jumping in. This is just so riveting. You were in there for a month. Any other facets you want to hit on before we take calls?
Sure. The one thing I would like to say that I think that your listeners are attuned to, that one of the most compelling things about this group is that they're internationalists. And I think liberals too often dismiss fundamentalists as stupid and as provincial and local. And these guys are none of that. They're very internationalist. They're very sophisticated. They're very savvy. They're charming. They're not Jerry Falwell screaming at you on the TV. These groups are, you know, they look just like everyone else, as they say. And I think if we're going to really combat fundamentalism, we need to acknowledge that and give credit where credit is due. They can accomplish a lot and they can do a lot, and they're smart. And there's good things about their vision. We should try and encourage those
Jeffrey,
things.
Jeffrey, there's nothing wrong with being fundamentalist on issues that are important. I'm a fundamentalist on the Constitution, Bill of Rights.
Well, that's a little bit different than being a fundamentalist Christian.
Well, I am a fundamentalist Christian.
A literalist reading of the Bible, which has no historical basis.
But see, you have this whole left-wing view, this whole left-wing lens that you're seeing them through. And look, the globalists control the left and the right. You said,
well, Alex, that's what I'm
involved.
Trying to tell you. That's why I'm trying to emphasize that this is an internationalist group. In other words, people write to me and they say, oh, I knew it. I knew those right-wing Republicans were, this is what they were all about. And I say, no, it's not a question of left and right. It's a question of people who believe in transparency, who believe in democracy and open debate and discussion, versus people who think a few elites should control everything.
All right, let me read you another quote and then we'll go to calls. Maybe you'll understand what you've heard this. You know who Professor Carroll Quigley was?
No, I don't.
Bill Clinton thanked him in his first State of the Union address. He was the head of political science at Georgetown University. Okay?
Okay.
And this is what he said in his book, Tragedy and Hope. There does exist and has existed for a generation an international network which operates to some extent in the way the radical right believes the communist act. In fact, this network, which we may call the roundtable groups, see, it's roundtable interlocking groups, has no aversion to cooperating with the communist or any other group and frequently does so. I know of the operations of this network because I have studied it for 20 years and was permitted for 2 years in the early 60s to examine its papers and secret records. I have no aversion to it or most of its aims, and have, for much of my life, been close to it and many of its instruments. I have objected both in the past and recently to a few of its policies, but in general, my chief difference of opinion is that it wishes to remain unknown, and I believe its role in history is significant enough to be known, Professor Carroll Quigley in his book, Tragedy and Hope.
I couldn't agree with that more. I mean, that's exactly the main issue, that they wish to remain unknown. You can advocate whatever you want as long as you're not doing it secretly and you're not hiding and you're not trying to manipulating power, to
well, they
manipulate
call
power
for,
secretly.
Well, they called for dictatorship, and then Ashcroft's trying to pass Patriot Act too.
Yeah, I think Ashcroft has made pretty clear where his sympathies lie.
Well, now you say he's connected to the group. What about that?
Yeah, in 1981, a correspondence began between he and Doug Coe, in which they agreed to get together and pray together and also talk about how they could bring Jesus, remember this is their Jesus, their idea of Jesus, into politics. And they don't really have, I think, a great sense of the separation of church and state. And I think we're seeing the effects of that right now. He also helped, Ashcroft helped organize within this group a series of somewhat secret, and again, that's their word. The organizer said this is a secret meeting for students. They have to handpick students from good colleges around the country who are brought to a hotel. No press. No press is alerted about this. And someone like Ashcroft or Senator Pete Domenici of New Mexico will just give them a weekend seminar on how they can bring Jesus into politics and how you can do it without setting off alarms.
And we bring Jesus as we secretly take over all the religious groups. We bring Jesus in through a Hitler model.
Yeah, instead of saying, hey, you bring Jesus in by saying, I'm a Christian, and these are my views, and you can support them them if you want. You know, put
we
it
don't
out
talk
there
about
open.
We don't talk about abortion. We don't talk about the Muslims. This is
a
spirit guide,
Jesus. Well, Ashcroft talk about abortion and the Muslims. I mean, Ashcroft is,
a
more openly dictatorial character.
That's the front for all of this, but I'm showing people the core.
Yeah.
Now,
the
one
core is
question.
Much more sophisticated than Ashcroft.
Absolutely. One more comment on this. Isn't it a conflict of interest to have 7 to 8 congressmen who live in D.C. in a house paid for by this nonprofit shadowy group, as you write, connected to the CIA?
Yeah, the building is actually registered with IRS as a church, too, which I think AP, Associated Press, followed up and checked it out, and these guys are saying, I didn't know that, and I didn't even know it was any Christian. And a Maine reporter followed up with John Elias Baldacci, then a congressman, now governor of Maine, conservative Democrat, and he claimed there was any Christian element to it. Now, I was there. Every meal was preceded by a prayer, and it's a fairly unconventional prayer. And
what is the prayer?
It's always a free-form prayer, and it's always just there's a lot you wouldn't disagree with it. You know, thank you, Jesus, thank you for this food. This is all good. We agree with this. And then emphasizing our total allegiance to this. And I would even have people, I would hear people say all the time, and say, you know, the kingdom of Christ is not a democracy, and there can only be one king. And that's what we have to pray to be broken and have our spirit humiliated, because democracy can be
a prize. Well, here's the
deal.
They're saying that they are the Knights Templars, basically, defending the Grail.
They believe that they're the new chosen. And,
exactly.
And I heard that said a lot of the times, that the they're actually, you know, the chosen or the elect, however you want to put that.
And Jesus is a spirit guide in abortion. We don't talk about that. Let's talk to Dan in Illinois. Dan, you're on the air, then Bob in New York and others. Go ahead, Dan.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Dan.
I think they're alluding to Hitler, whether they even admit it to themselves. You were just hitting on it right now. And it's the same mistake that all religion without the real Christ and all the religion without real God is this idea of a superior race. The Nazis were the superior race.
It's a takeover system for religious organizations. It's a total front. It fits all the parameters of a cult. You got congressmen living in this house paid for by the group. Give me a break.
Well, Dan, I would make one important distinction, is that they don't, and this is what separates them from a lot of those groups. They don't believe in a superior race. Not that I've been able to detect, and there's people of all races involved, and that's important to understand. What they believe in is that strength and that power. Now, as for the true Christ or the not true Christ, it's not for me to judge what's in their heart.
Well, I don't want to have a religious debate. I'm talking about the sinister organization, and I'll call a duck a duck, when it's yellow and quacks and wobbles and swims and flies. Now, I want to go back to the point that two of these guys threatened you and said, you're a traitor, you will pay. So I would take that very seriously. Anything else, Dan?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say was that it's confusing the human accomplishments. See, and the conservative right type person, they are so impressed with authority and success, and they're trained never to doubt anything.
This is the suck good Christians in to be their servants.
I think you got it right there, Dan. That this kind of fetish for authority and success, and confusing that with what being a good Christian is,
which is the total opposite message, actually.
Well, I'll give you my analysis. This thing stinks to high heaven, and you write about the CIA connections in your article, correct, Jeff?
I don't mention that too much. I think that they've always had guys in every branch of government. They've always had that's not something I've explored too thoroughly, but I don't think that, I mean, they've got prayer groups in the Department of Defense and prayer groups throughout government. And, the government's bigger than the CIA, and we should be worried about what's going on throughout it.
Absolutely.
And
thanks for the call,
Dan.
Appreciate the call. Bob in New York, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead, Bob.
How you doing today, Alex?
Fine.
How's Jeff today?
Hi, Bob.
Hi. Jeff, Alex brought up a point, and I'm going to give you some homework, if that's okay with
sure,
you.
Sure, I'd love that.
Okay. There was a gentleman by the name of Anthony Sutton that wrote a book called America's Secret Establishment.
Okay.
To look into Skull and Bones. And where this all goes back to is a philosopher in the 19th century named Hegel.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing is if you go way back, which Anthony has done, is he exposes the fact that not only is Skull and Bones some satanic ritual, you know, and they do weird things inside a tomb, but it infiltrated all of U.S. education system since the early 1800s. And the whole point of it, that this education system, is not to educate, is to make you subservient. He also goes into their biggest ploy is eugenics. The head of the Nazi eugenics program was meeting in 1932 with Harriman. You know, this is genocide. They need to depopulate.
And so they're setting up the little Christian soldiers who think they're Christian, bringing in the world dictatorship. Stay there, Bob. Stay there, Jeff. We'll be right back with our guests. Stay with me. Appreciate our guests with all this great information and amazing research he's done, Jeffrey Charlotte. Combined with the research I've done and the listeners have done, it's stunningly scary what the globalists are setting up here, and how I hear these so-called Christian leaders on the radio saying Patriot Act 1 and 2 is good. Basically, you're not a Christian if you don't worship George Bush. They will attack you if you mention Skull and Bones or Bohemian Grove. They will attack you if you mention that Bush goes to Muslim prayer breakfasts and worships Allah. This is the new system, folks. It's just putting the name of Christ on something and then trying to sell an agenda attached to that engine. And we're talking to Harper's writer, Jeffrey Charlotte, an award-winning author. His website is killingthebuddha.com. He's got a new book coming out. Let's go back to Bob in New York. Anything else real quick, Bob, you want to say to Jeffrey?
Well, Jeffrey, you've done some great work. You opened up something that we weren't even aware of.
Well, I was aware of it under different names. As
Opus
you said, they have different names.
Yeah, you know, Opus Dei, I don't know if you've ever looked into that. But
I'm looking into now the possible connections between Opus Dei and the late 60s. This group had a lot of trouble getting into Spain. They had leaders throughout the rest of the European government, but Spain, which was a Catholic government, this group is very Protestant. They ended up sort of making common cause with a group of government officials who were in Opus Dei, and through that they were able to get access to Franco, the dictator of Spain. And these government officials, these Opus Dei guys, would vouch for this group and say they're all right. And then from there on, they're doing business.
And they say in your article that we like Franco.
Yeah, they did admire Franco, another dictator who killed a lot of his own citizens, ruled Spain for many years with U.S. support, and again, they thought, this is a guy who maybe he has some problems with his policies, but we like the way he approaches governance, because
yes.
It's on the model of Christ as they understand it, which is hierarchical. Which is
a dictatorship. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Billy in Texas, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead, Billy.
Hello, Alex. Nice talking to you again.
Nice talking to you.
I called you, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I was wanting to ask you about if you've seen 44 Minutes or that, and you let me plug my website on here.
Okay, sir, what's on your mind for
okay,
the
Okay, well, if real quick, if I could just explain my story, what I have to explain dwarfs what you guys have been talking about, but basically I'm going to try to make this real short. The state of Michigan has just came and raped and pillaged my whole family.
Well, sir, we see these horror stories every day. I may have to hold you over the next hour, and you tell me you're calling in from Texas.
Yeah, I'm calling from Texas. It's a child support issue.
Okay, sir, I'm going to have to put you on hold.
Okay.
Because when I have a guest on, it's about that issue. You know what? I'm not going to take any more calls. I just want to go ahead and let our guest finish up. Sir, are there any other points you'd like to make, any other things you'd like to discuss about this situation you've exposed?
I think we've covered it pretty well. I think one thing that's worth looking at is in 1945, the founder of the group, Abraham Baraiti, was using the phrase the New World Order. And he was working with the administrators of the Marshall Plan, with which the U.S. helped to rebuild Europe and do a lot of good work. But he was also saying, let's use that to promote this Christian agenda and to say, look, you want to do business with us, you have to do it on these terms. You have to worship not only Christ, but our idea of Christ. And we're going to share on that. And I think it's important to understand that these groups are not, you know, it's not a bunch of bad guys in the back room tackling and
oh,
plotting.
No.
A lot of them do pursue this with good hearts and with good integrity. But the issue becomes, are you going to do it out in the open, out in the public, where we can all debate and we can say, is this a good idea or a bad idea?
And they call it, and the founder called it a New World Order, and just a few years it had presidential support.
Exactly.
Did you know that Hitler called for a New World Order, sir?
I didn't, but it's not surprising.
Well, you know, George W. Bush and his daddy have called for a New World Order.
That's a popular phrase.
It's
a phrase to watch out for.
It means world dictatorship. Appreciate you joining us, Jeffrey Charlotte. Great job. Take care. Be right back with the third hour with another guest.